It's Nick, Jess and Darko. Welcome to the podcast.
Do you guys have nicknames for sexy time?
Oh, make it a baby.
Make it a baby. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Not one that jumps to mind.
Okay, let's see. Maybe you want this one, Gilly. You know how we get the network's daily emails? So every show around the country in our network sends what they're doing for the day around, just so we can see, hey, what are they doing in Perth? What are they doing in Adelaide? What are they doing in Brizzy? And so on and so forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone from WA today.
Classic.
Is doing a topic on 131060, what ruined the mood?
Yeah.
What song in particular ruined the mood?
Oh, yeah.
But this person who sent the email is very kind, gave a little bit more detail, and said when Alan, who is one of the hosts, was hiding the cucumber with his wife, a song came on and ruined the mood.
Hiding the cucumber.
Ergo, what song ruined the mood? But hiding the cucumber. Now, am I misinterpreting that? That's what I think it is, yeah?
Yes.
Because
you're putting the cucumber into the hole and it's hiding.
It's hiding.
But, yeah.
Having played quite a bit of hide and seek lately, actual
with
hide
the cucumber?
And seek. Just with people.
Okay. Just with your whole body.
Yeah, well, you can play hide the cucumber with people as well, so.
I've found that you don't generally pop in and out of the hiding spot.
Ah, so it's a staying, they're staying in the hole.
Yeah, it's not like, I'm in the cupboard, I'm out of the cupboard, I'm in the cupboard, out of the cupboard.
Okay.
In the cupboard, out of the cupboard.
Yeah.
So is this a bad name for it?
I feel as though.
Is it whack-a-mole cucumber?
Look,
what would you rather?
Now we're talking.
I can reply to Alan and say, bruz, hiding the cucumber, not on.
Well, or hiding and then revealing, then hiding again. That's too long.
Like it's
probably
peek-a-boo not cucumber.
Peek-a-boo cucumber.
Yes.
There you go. Peek-a-boo cucumber.
Now we're talking because I met one of the Hit family years ago when I was out and about, back when it was NXFM. And we used to have the NXFM quick route traffic.
That's right. The traffic update.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they used to say that their code word for when they were like out and about and they wanted to duck off for a quickie.
When out and about, you mean like public toilet?
Yeah, public toilet kind of vibe.
How maybe, often?
When was the last time you did it in a public toilet?
Yeah.
I can only think of one time.
So,
two times, but that's it.
But if they wanted to say it in front of other people, they would say, oh, we should check the NXFM traffic because it was called Quick Route.
Sorry, brilliant. How many times was this happening that they had a nickname code word for it?
I don't know. He felt compelled to tell me.
What a ravenous couple. Wow.
Spicy. I
spicy.
Like that. You know, let's just go over there and do it.
And do it.
Where's the most public place you've ever done it? I mean,
well,
I'm
see, what's the
a
difference between
notice?
Public and you're out and about, but there's no one there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we're on a beach, but it was nighttime. There's no one there.
Right.
So technically public, but no people.
Yeah. Fair.
What equals public?
Mm. I suppose people, the risk of being caught, I think.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I've only made out under a sheet in a living room at a house party.
Whoa.
But it was just making
crazy.
Out. Exactly.
Crazy,
but there was people. Whereas the other times, you know.
What about like a bush at a party? You know what I mean? They're always good.
No bush at a party.
No.
No.
In, like, when I was young,
I take it that was yours. You were bushing
and
party.
And beach, in the middle of the day, the beach?
Middle of the day.
Yeah, done middle of the day.
On the
beach.
Rocks.
With people around.
Oh, you know. And
that's arrestable.
If not, it was people around.
Very much. I was younger, and after we'd finished, some people came walking past as we were pulling our pants up and stuff. Yeah, it was like.
Wow.
It was like the rocks, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a wild thing that's happened.
Someone did it at our recovery lunch at the wedding.
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I have heard about that.
Yeah, you know how there was like the two buildings?
Yeah.
That secondary building where we had the pre-dinner?
That's...
Yeah, apparently in there during
did they get
the lunch. Well, I didn't get caught, but someone walked past and just looked at the right time.
That's awesome.
Is it?
Like
it's my wedding. It's my day. That was technically my 30th birthday celebration.
But
I don't
like,
know if it's
love
awesome.
Was in the air. You were creating babies. Love and vibe.
Yeah, you just promoted love.
Yes.
I don't know.
So I shouldn't tell you that I had sex at your wedding too.
Yeah, it was ducking.
On the Sunday?
No, the night of.
The night of. Yeah, but not at the venue.
Yeah.
Not in the bush.
Yeah.
What?
We had your cheese board. That's where
well,
I was.
I know you're lying
I was like,
now
like,
because
what are you
that
doing
was.
Here? And he was doing it.
That
we our boss was over there doing it. Everyone was doing it. It was like an orgy at your wedding.
I don't want to, no, I'm going to remove that from my memory. It
I
was
didn't
a,
know your wedding.
Yeah, good.
I didn't know your wedding.
Good.
Bit
yeah,
too
yeah me either.
Yeah, I got my deposit back from the venue.
Yeah.
All the bushes were intact. Yeah. So that's good. There was no damage.
Oh, you know what I did do it once? This is a true story. We had a rowing head of the river party. It's a big party you have after your rowing race.
Mm.
You know? And they throw it for you. We had it at my parents' place. We lived on acreage out in Brisbane. And had a big party there, security, yada, yada. Me and a girl went to the neighbours to do it. and like got together and stuff and didn't realize we were in their veggie patch.
Oh.
And the next day, the neighbor's mum came over.
The poor Marjorie.
And she was like, one, someone has gone into our veggie patch and absolutely ruined it. And then, you know, it all came back to me and I was like,
in the veggie patch.
And it was like, ruined their veggie patch. And they still talk about it to this day because we're sort of family friends with them now.
Do they know what happened?
Don't know, it was me.
They don't know. And they don't know how. They thought it was just hooligans.
Yeah, drunk kids over there in the veggie patch. You know, 18 year olds. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, squashing down potatoes.
Squashing down
yeah,
potatoes.
Yeah.
We used to have a competition when we were younger called the wheel, and it was a trophy. And you would be the wheel holder if you could do it in the most public place. And then if somebody could outdo you, then you would receive the wheel.
Did the other members of the competition have to witness it, or were you taking for the word?
Yeah, the honour system.
Honour system.
That's a different thing if everyone's watching.
I want to know, how much did your kid cost you? Ooh. Because Otis, our three-year-old boy, had a hell of a weekend. Now, on Friday at about 4 p.m., Otis decided that he's been experimenting with locks in our house. You know the little ones that are on a handle, and on one side, normally the inside of a bathroom, you've got a little thing that you twist which locks the door.
Yes, yes, just that like little knob.
Yeah, just a tiny little knob inside the knob. And on the outside, you can't unlock it. But you can kind of get a screwdriver or your nail or something like that.
Yeah.
Twist it, it's fine.
We used to do it with scissors, I think, growing up. If my brother locked the bathroom, I needed to get in, you get a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Jam it.
Catch him wee.
Yeah.
Got you again, bro.
So Otis for...
Loser who wees. Grow up.
So Otis has been experimenting with locking the door, then going outside the room and pulling it shut. Which is annoying because like the room is locked with no one in it, right?
Right, okay.
But you use your little nail and you get back into the bathroom. Anyway, he did that to our bedroom the other day and he closed it. And at 4 o'clock, I tried to open the bedroom. And I was like, ugh, use my nail to open it. It's a key lock, which we didn't notice. And we got a bunch of random keys. We tried them all on the door. None of them worked.
Is that really weird? Why is there a key lock
on the
bedroom?
We were like,
that's good to know for you now, though.
Yeah. You know, I was like, who used to live here and what did you get up to?
Yeah. That's why the swing's off the ceiling and there's mirrors up there. Yeah.
So I climbed up to the balcony and...
Oh, hello, Australian Ninja Warrior.
Well, everyone was just like, who's that robber? And then tried to open the two slide doors. We always keep them locked. We don't have keys to those either. So we just couldn't get into our bedroom. I wasn't wearing shoes and they were all in the bedroom. And it was a long weekend, so we wouldn't have had anywhere to sleep until Tuesday.
Oh, my God. And the same set of clothes. Oh, God. Yeah.
So I want to take you through where my mentality took me. So there I am, and I decided to get onto YouTube. I started pretty simple.
So I just locked myself out of my house. Thankfully, I knew how to break into my door using just a regular credit card or your driver's license.
Okay.
So, okay. Got an old credit card, tried this method, but... When you're on the outside, you've got to hook it at a 90-degree turn, and I couldn't get enough force on the door. So I went to the next YouTube video.
I'm outside my front door because today we're going to talk about how to pick a lock.
Okay, so I got two bobby pins, tried to follow the stuff, right. Spent about 20 minutes.
MacGyver over here.
Yeah, carjacker. Yeah.
It looked so easy on the video, but the bobby pins were too fat. So, went on to the next stage.
Today I'm doing something that I've wanted to do for a very, very long time, and that's figure out the best way to drill open a lock.
Drill open a lock.
Drill open a lock.
You're not the handiest of handymen.
Do you own a drill?
Yeah.
I do own a drill, but I found the next line of that video is it's like hardened steel or something, so you need a special drill bit. Obviously, I don't have one of those. So I went to my final stage of YouTubing when I'd pretty much given up.
Hi, I'm Carl, and we're going to talk about how to properly kick open a door.
Carl, he's someone who's... He's eating a lot of pizza
pasta
his time. He's
former
security guy. Yeah. He's going to kick over a door.
Now,
Tony Soprano,
I know. That's where it is.
Now, the thing that stopped me from doing that is it was right at the top of the stairs, right? And he said that there is a lot of force that can come back into your body when you're trying to kick open a door. And I was in fear that I would kick... And the door would go nowhere, but I would, and I would just fall down the stairs.
And also shoeless. Ooh, yeah. Very dangerous.
One. You
know,
the shoulder the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and that was like...
His weak, brittle bones couldn't really handle his shoulder.
The video explained that and said that it can really damage your shoulder quite badly.
Okay, don't shoulder the door.
So I got to the next level, which was calling a locksmith.
Admitting defeat, hire a hubby.
Yeah.
Please come open my door.
Before a long weekend, it was about 4:40 at this stage, called him up, a very nice guy, and he said, yeah, I've got a couple of jobs, I can get round there, but that'll click over to 5 p.m, which means long weekend rates, the call-out fee will be $350. For Otis experimenting with a lock.
Locksmiths are genius because they make money in about 30 seconds.
Oh, mate.
There you go. You're in.
I told him it was a push-button lock, and so he was using this device and like kind of a little bit confused with it for about 20 seconds. And he's like, it's a push-button, isn't it? And I was like, oh, it's like a little twisty one. And he's like, oh, twisty one. Hello. Got this one little device and was like, chikunk. Took him about 3 seconds to open. And then he said he would generously cut some keys for us for the door.
That's nice. Throw in the keys. Because he knows he made so much extra money off you.
And he rocked up at 5:01 as well.
Enjoy that late fee.
To be fair, how much would have getting a door reframed once you'd kicked it open cost?
Yeah. Quite expensive, more than $350, which was part of my research.
So, if, what, 13, 10, 60, how much did the kid cost you?
How much did the kid cost you? $350 in about 4 seconds work.
Wow. Yeah. Liz is in Singleton. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How much did your kid cost you?
Well, it was actually me that cost my parents.
Okay, you were the kid.
Yes, I was the kid. I had a similar lock on my door and I locked myself out. And the only way to get in was to kick it open. So I kicked it and I broke the doorknob at the hinge. And I was doorless for about a month.
Hi, I'm Carl, and we're going to talk about how to properly kick open a door.
I love Carl.
Didn't watch Carl properly then, Liz.
Yeah, nah.
D in Gilliston Heights, how much did your kid cost you?
My son, he was jumping on the bed and pushed his teeth up into his jaw, and he cost me $1,100.
Oh, my God.
That would have hurt so much.
Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, he fractured his jaw, his cheekbone as well.
Jeez.
Oh, gosh.
But still, selfish, $1,100.
$1,100.
I know. And I love how Medicare goes, oh, guys, your teeth aren't part of your body.
That's Is that a covered? Thing?
Yeah.
That doesn't work, does it? Classic Medicare.
Wow. Joanne's in Dora Creek. Joanne, how much did your kid cost you?
$495.
Wow.
My two teenage girls decided to have a fight. One lifted the other one up and threw her through the glass window.
Oh, my.
That'll do it.
I'll be honest, I was thinking most of the callers would be about small children.
Yeah.
But yes, teenagers. Okay. Yeah.
Was the window okay?
Yeah, I had to get a new one.
Oh, yeah. And was the $495 for the window or the medical bills?
Yeah.
Just the window.
Jeez. Okay, well, Christy and you landed on 13, 10, 60. How much did the kid cost you, or were you the kid?
It was my son. He cost me about $800.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how?
We were in Harvey Norman, and he ran off, and he knocked down someone's birthday display, so like their birthday cake or their food and stuff like that, and my mum tripped in, so I bought a new fridge because I was out shopping for a fridge.
Was the birthday happening in Harvey Norman?
Who
has a birthday in Harvey Norman?
Yeah, so they were having a staff birthday party with cake in it.
It was a kids' party.
And he was standing there eating the cake when we found him.
Wow. Oh,
so he's ruined the staff party, so then you bought a fridge because you felt bad.
Yes.
Oh, I see. That's horrible.
But he didn't eat the cake. He was eating the cake off the ground.
Wow. What a little Dennis the Menace you've got there. Is that him in the background?
Yeah.
Yes, that's him in the background.
Okay.
Yeah. At least he got a new fridge out of it.
Totally. Yeah.
It's on the weekend, long weekend. Did plenty of things. We had Morgan's friend. Came from Brizzy, so we're showing her all around Newcastle, doing all of the things. Went to some lovely restaurants, lovely establishments.
Tour de food.
Tour de food.
Mm. Oh, my God, was keeping up. I was so jealous.
Yeah, it was a great weekend.
All the best spots.
We did. I went to a lovely restaurant. I'm not going to name any of these establishments, just for the story. Went to a lovely restaurant on Saturday night, and then after that we were going to a bar. That's a bit funky, a bit cool, a bit fun. Now, Morgan got a bottle of wine at dinner and didn't finish it. They didn't finish it. And I didn't want any of the wine. I wasn't in that zone. Probably had, I'm going to say, less than half a bottle left, okay? Just less than half. Like, just.
Maybe two glasses?
Yeah. And Morgan's like, I don't want to waste this wine. It was good wine. It was a nice bottle. We splashed out a little bit. I want to keep the wine. I was like, well, just drink it now. Don't feel like it now. We're about to go to, like, a bit more of a cocktail vibe.
Yeah.
She's like, do you reckon I could just bring the wine with me to the next place we're going?
Without a lid?
No, it had a lid. It was screw, like, just a screw lid. And Morgan's friend and I are like, no. Absolutely not.
Where do you think you up. Yeah,
we're going to another bar. Morgan's like, are you serious? I'll be sweet. She brings it in her handbag. We get to this place. I swear to God.
Did she get the food wrapped up to go as well? Did she just have like a doggy bag of food and beverage?
Food and me wine and a glass. I stole the glass as well.
If you're taking it yourself, though, you're not getting a doggy. She's got a napkin of pasta.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't want to waste anything.
Lining her pockets with foil.
It's like, Morgan, it's all right. We can afford it. No, no.
It's the principle. I mean, the markup on bottles of wine at restaurants, they got to make money. But I appreciate the cheap-skatedness of her. Yeah, I feel that.
And we rock up to this next venue and the security guards are out the front, you know, show us your ID, yada, yada. And Morgan's like, yeah, hey, so sorry. Is it cool if I just bring this in? We're not going to have it. She don't want to waste it.
Oh, up front?
And the security guard's like, no, you can't bring that into our premises. Like, we're a licensed premises. You can't bring other alcohol in. She's like, yeah, but like, I'll give it to the bar. You guys hold it behind the bar. I'll get it when I leave.
It's our cloakroom. It's alcohol.
And they're like, no, sorry, we can't do it. She's like, what? You can't do it. She goes, okay, how about I leave it with you guys out here and I'll come back and get it on the way out. They're like, man, we can't be seen to take alcohol from you, then give it back to you. It's half a bottle of wine.
And I don't have an esky.
Yeah. And Morgan was like perplexed. Like, what? How can no one take this wine? I was looking at Morgan like, where do you think we are?
Is that a thing in Brisbane?
No, not at all. Okay. It's not a thing anywhere. And she's never done this before. It was very strange. Like, now that she's married, she's all about like not wasting things and, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
She goes, okay, well, I guess, can you dispose of it for me? And the guy's like, I can't take that bottle from you. No. And she goes, well, what am I meant to do with it? He's like, I don't know. Like, dispose of it. So she goes round the corner and puts it on the ground and goes, I'll come back for it. And he's like, I can't let you leave it there.
You're littering in front of me.
It's our liquor licensing and you're leaving alcohol there in front of me on our premises. Like, no. And Morgan's like, well, what? There's no bin. Anyway, you see her go to this alley next to the club. And we literally hear, I'm standing there with Morgan's friend talking to the security guard, like, I'm really sorry about her.
Please let us in after this whole ordeal.
Just hoping they don't recognize who I am whatsoever. I was like, just so nervous. I was like, sort of looking down. And then you hear Morgan like rustling in an alleyway. She's like, oh, there's a bin here. And the guy goes, am I going to have to go and check on your wife to make sure that she's put that in the bin? I was like, possibly, yeah.
Possibly. I want to know, did you actually do anything with your wedding dress? Because middle of last week, boys, I posted on Instagram for dry cleaner recommendations for wedding dresses in particular. I've got a dry cleaner, but I want a wedding dress, you know, specific. Yeah. You saw my dress. There's a lot of beading. There's a lot of material and there's feathers. And I know they can be quite annoying to clean properly. But for the past week and a bit, I have been inundated and I'm getting really frustrated with the messages I'm receiving. Some have been recommendations, appreciate those, but most of them have been, oh my God, why do you want to get a dry clean? You're not selling it, are you? No, you can't sell it. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. Your daughter will want to wear it when she grows up. It's a beautiful family heirloom.
You should keep it.
The dry, they can get it bagged and boxed, but you should definitely keep it. Just find some space in your house. And literally message after message after message. And I just feel like screaming,
leave Brittany alone.
I am Brittany in this instance. No one has done anything actually with their dress. Even women who have kept it, don't even try and tell me you pull it out of the cupboard and look at it. Give me a break. I love stuff, but I hate clutter. And a huge wedding dress boxed up is going to take up so much space.
Because you can't really fold it or anything, can you? It's just like a full-length box.
Exactly, because if you fold it, obviously you could damage the material. So I appreciate it how they have to store it.
Yeah.
But where the hell am I going to put it?
I feel like it's like a senior's jersey. You know, you get year 12 senior's jersey, everyone signs it.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't want to throw this away because it feels like, I don't know, sacrilegious, but I'm not going to do anything with this.
100%. Yeah. There is obviously a level of sentimentality.
Yeah, like you
make a
wedding dress.
And I loved my dress, but I'm never pulling it out and wearing it again. One woman said I should cut it and wear it like as an evening gown, get rid of the train. I was like, who has ever done that? Have you seen my dress?
Yeah.
The train was the whole dress. What's the point of cutting it?
You know what my mom did with hers, and she still does. She did it for years and years and years. Every year on their wedding anniversary, mum would wear her dress.
No.
She'd wear it down the stairs and she'd eat dinner in the dress with us as a family.
No. That's classic.
Yeah. And we'd all be like, mum, no, please. No, mum, come there. She'd have the veil on and she'd flick it over and she'd make dad reenact the kiss. And
was that like an 80s dress? Like
poofy. Oh, yeah, it was puffy. And yeah. Every year she'd wear it for dinner. Yeah.
Wow.
Why don't you get a bucket and tie-dye it, and then it can be, you know, reusable for just like a weekend dress.
Trendy.
I know that we did the electric shock collar. You're trying to get how much the dress was worth.
Yeah, because yeah. How much was it? It was like 15, 18,
23,
20. North,
I'm not going to say, but I could get a pretty penny selling it, is what I'm going to say. Dresses actually hold their retail value quite well. I'm a pretty standard shape. I don't have huge buzzies. My waist isn't particularly thin. I'm pretty stock standard.
Yeah.
So there's probably quite a few women who could wear my dress
yeah.
and help me pay off the dress. You know what I mean? I could make some money, is what I'm saying.
So you like rent it out. You wouldn't just sell
it off.
You
know what? That's an option. Maybe I could rent it. I was thinking sell and just be done and dusted. I don't want
to
deal with cleaning and all that.
Yeah.
But yes, I just don't believe all these women who are like, keep it, your daughter's going to wear it. Shut up. No, she's not.
No, they won't.
She won't.
Mum said to Abby, my older sister, you can wear my dress. And Abby's like, absolutely not.
I don't believe
it. It's hideous now. I don't want to wear that.
Exactly. Yeah. Fashion changes.
It does.
It's had a lot of bolognese on it too now by the sound of
so many family dinners.
Stacey's in Head and Greeter. Hey, Stace.
Hello, Jet.
Hello. What did you do with the dress? Don't tell me your daughter wore it. I don't believe it.
Don't you
No, it's a bit of a sore point between me and my husband.
Oh.
It just comes up in discussion every so often. He wants me to get rid of it and I just can't pass it with it. I had this magical idea that I would use it as a prop in a newborn shoot with my daughter, and then I had twin sons.
Okay. Oh. No wedding dress needed.
No. So now it's currently sitting at the top of the walk-in robe and a big bag, and every couple of months my husband goes, all right, time to get rid of it. And I go, no.
I need it.
Get rid of
it's
it.
It's like the senior's jersey. It's just there. She can't throw it away.
Your daughter-in-laws aren't going to wear it,
no.
Stace. Just get rid of it.
Maybe they might.
No,
you put ideas into it. You never know.
I'm a hoarder, Stacey, and I'm daughter-in-laws aren't going to wear it.
Shannon on 131060 from Cessnock. What'd you do with the dress, Shannon?
Oh, good morning, guys. I trashed mine.
You trashed it? What were you thinking? Did you hate it?
Oh, no, you know what? And you're probably not even thinking that now just because it's been only a couple of months. But, after you have it for a little while, it's like, you know what, I think it was on our first year anniversary, married, yeah, we trashed it. So we went to the beach. It was beaded, top to train. So I didn't cut it. We, however, lifted underneath and we ripped the tulle.
Oh,
so it made for good photos, but you could also, you know, cut it up later, Jess, and
Shannon, I'm a slave to the gram. I've done a lot of things for a lot of pictures, but I am not destroying a dress.
Oh, come on.
For a fun
pic. Arts and crafts. It was Nick's kids. They'll cut it up, put on a card.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You cannot bring those children anywhere near.
It's all right. They're terrible with scissors.
Good.
Kylie in Tea Gardens, what did you actually do with the wedding dress?
There's a charitable foundation that runs out of John Hunter Hospital, and I donated mine and my girlfriend's dress to them. They actually redesigned small dresses for those families that were unfortunate to lose babies.
Oh,
so
wow.
Those that had stillborn, they took the materials and created other little dresses out of those.
Oh, Colin, I feel like someone mentioned that. Is it Angel Babies?
Yes. Yeah. And it was only just on the news last week. My daughter was just sitting in the car with me and she just said to me, Mum, they had that on the news last week. And I went, oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's a horrible reason and a lovely thing.
Totally, yeah. I think I saw someone commented, I think I saw that on the Nick Jess Ducko and someone said I had done that. And another mum commented underneath saying, as someone who needed one of those.
Yeah.
Thank you for providing the fabric and the material.
Yeah.
Something so beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Alyssa's in Thornton. Wrap this up for us, Alyssa. What did you actually do with the dress?
I sold mine.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Here's
where
she wants to go with it.
Your margins here.
Yeah. So I bought it for 3.5 and sold it for 2.5. And it ended up as a pretty cheap dress.
3.5 and you made 2.5?
Oh, look at her eyes clocking out.
Yeah. Jess, she could probably buy a second house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with that markdown.
Yeah, absolutely she could.
Oh, Alyssa. Okay. They hold their value, don't they, Liz?
Yeah, they do really well, especially the dress I had. So. But there's a website, Still White, that actually go on and just sell secondhand wedding dresses.
Okay.
Here's what we do, Gilly. We go on the website and we see when she's put it up and then we work out how much hers actually was.
obviously about using a fake name. There's no way. Oh, you will forget. You won't remember to look.
I've got people who can do that. Sophie, producer Sophie, we're doing that. Right now, guys, this is a wild story that we all saw over the weekend about a man who was swallowed by a whale and then spat out again.
Mate.
On Friday.
There's that scene in Finding Nemo. Did he ask nicely and then get shot out the blowhole?
No, well, I mean, he didn't fit through the blowhole, but he just got spat back out.
Spat back
out. But maybe he did ask nicely.
Do we know what kind of whale it was?
Oh, no, it doesn't say here. I'm not sure. Michael Packard's his name. He's a lobster diver from Cape Cod. Doing what he does best, diving for lobsters.
Diving for lobsters. And was the whale just like, I don't know, was it lunchtime?
Yeah, apparently he says, this is his words, it was on Friday, he was doing his thing, looking for lobsters. All of a sudden, it went dark around him, like really dark. Like the whale has just come in looking for some krill and just bit over him. And he's just in his stomach and he can feel the whale muscles in the mouth trying to harden and press against him to digest and swallow.
Oh my God.
And he said it was all dark. He was still breathing because he had his like apparatus on, his oxygen tank and stuff. And he could just feel the whale closing in on him, trying to swallow him. The whale's like, you're not krill. And then the whale came back and just spat him out. And then he got rescued and taken back onto the boat. What? All he had was a bruised leg.
And this is the thing. It's obviously his word. Well, no one's spoken to the whale.
No. Well,
the
whales refused to comment.
to comment.
Notoriously hard to get onto.
They're busy. They're busy.
Flat stick.
You know, they're not
krill.
Checking their DMs.
And this season, it's whale watching season, so they're putting on shows for people and stuff. So, yeah.
I wonder. I love those stories. You see them every so often where a scuba diver, usually they have GoPro footage, though.
Yeah.
Where a whale comes along and kind of tucks a diver under their fin or blocks the way of a shark. Have you seen these stories? And they're like, the whale was protecting you from the shark, getting in the way, basically putting their body in between yours. I wonder if there was some sort of predator around and the whale was like, there's no time, get in here.
Oh, saving him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll never know, though, because no one was
and
around.
Just spinning him. And being able to say that you lived inside a whale and you can live to tell the tale.
Yeah, like Pinocchio's dad.
Yeah.
Is that where he lived?
I don't know if he survived.
I can't remember. Like, there is a story of somebody living in a whale. There's a Decemberist song about a guy who lived in a whale.
Is it Moby Dick? Did he eat someone?
No, he killed Moby Dick went after the whale.
No, Moby Dick was a whale, I think.
Was he the whale?
I don't know now.
Who's Geppetto's Pinocchio? Is that the same story?
No, there's another guy. Ishmael was going after Moby Dick, I think.
Well, where's Geppetto from?
Pinocchio, the guy who made Pinocchio.
And he gets put on a whale?
There's a lot of pop culture references about getting eaten by a whale. But a lot of people are saying that this story is a little bit fishy. So one of the doctors at Cape Cod...
Mammal-y.
One of the doctors at Cape Cod Hospital, who admittedly hasn't treated Lobster Man, has said that if you were to come up that fast, then you would have had some kind of barometric injury, like the bends or something like that.
Okay. If you got spat out by a whale, something's not right.
Maybe the whale didn't spit him out. Maybe the whale was just like, you know, like it's just like a gentle, maybe he just like lifted his tongue and just sort of like...
It's like when you think the hummus is bad, you get...
Yeah. So that's what it is. Michael Packard, who was this fisherman, he was just bad hummus.
He was bad hummus. And you know, when you roll your tongue, you're like, what is that flavour? Opening, got
Michael.
Out.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and also some of the other lobster people around him were just like, look, maybe, but it'd be the first time in the history of being around whales that this would have happened.
That someone ate you.
Yeah, which I guess is why the story is so amazing.
Well, he's come out and said he wants Matt Damon to play him in a film, so.
I would love to see that. Yeah. Yes.
Matt Damon get eaten by a whale.
Yep. Yeah. And the whole thing just takes place in the whale's mouth.
Yeah. Oh.
Just Matt, some real intense, character work inside the whale. It'd all dark. It'd be pitch black in there.
Apparently it was pitch black in there, yeah.
Oi, could you eat a flagon of wine and some cheese, please?